and I only brought 1,000 charts, thinking, well, that's, you know, twice as many as we'll need. And I'm told that we had around 2,500 people here yesterday morning at the early morning meeting. That's a lot of people, and for a 6:30 a.m. meeting. This morning, I don't know how many we have here, but there's still a large number, and I'm sure we don't have sufficient for all of you. But there are some more at the doors, and we'll get some more. If any of you do not get one, and would write to the Battle Creek Tabernacle, and we'll be glad to send you. Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation. Is that the kind of generation you live in? That's the kind he lived in, too. And we're there again. Let me complete his words. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign or a miracle. Isn't that strange? That those who want to live evil, sinful, unbiblical lives are the very ones who are searching for sensational religion. Something that will affect the feelings. Some great, fantastic miracle. And today we've come to a day like it was in Jesus' day, where people would prefer miracles to truth. Caring not from what source those miracles come. Jesus said those words I quoted in Matthew 12:39. But let us turn now to John 6 in verse 39. John 6, I should say, in verse 30. They said therefore unto Jesus, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You show us a miracle, Jesus, and then we'll believe. What a pity that people should depend upon miracles for their faith instead of a thus saith the Lord. What sign will you show us? Then we'll believe. Turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Here's the 70 followers of Christ, disciples that had gone out to witness for him. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Why, Lord, it's fantastic. You ought to see the things that happen out there. It's really great. We've had a real time out there, Lord. Why, you should see, even the devils themselves are subject unto us. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What a strange response. Why, Lord, why aren't you excited? Just think of the miracles we're performing. But Jesus immediately took the occasion when they started talking about miracles and casting out devils. He immediately took advantage of this occasion to remind them that the devil is here on this earth. Let's read this over again. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Why, isn't that strange? Did you ever notice that? notwithstanding all these miracles that I'll give you power to do, in this, just the working of miracles, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that's something to get excited about. Having one's name inscribed in the books of life, the Lamb's book of life, through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, not through any merits or works of our own, but through His gracious righteousness. After which we love to do His will. Well, our Lord here made Himself very clear where He stood on miracles. He was more interested in conversions of sinners, transformation of characters, than He was in performing miracles. Now, why did Jesus minimize miracles? Well, let's notice that miracles, 2 Thessalonians, are used for deception by the devil, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No wonder our Lord warned us against miracles. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this, beginning with verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished because they received not the love of what? The truth. The truth. Love the truth and sell it not, friend. Don't sell it for all the miracles in the world. Cling to the truth. And what is the truth? Who is the truth? We might better ask. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Cling to Him, and His message is found in the Word. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be deceived. All those who received the miracles and wonders and signs of Satan and all the deceivableness. In verse 11, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are people today that cling to their sins, and those who are more interested in miracles, and those who are more interested in sensationalism, are very frequently those who are filled with immorality. And they hate the truth. Too often. Revelation chapter 16. Here we find John the Revelator giving us these words. John 16 and beginning with verse 13. He says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are all spirits of devils doing what? Working miracles. Now, who are these three organizations represented by the beast and the dragon and the false prophet? The beast is identified in Revelation 13 as what power? You know, the Roman power. And then, of course, the false prophet, which follows after the beast, apostate Protestantism. And the dragon, who is basically, according to chapter 12, the devil, but through whom does he work? Pagan religions, as well as apostate Christian religions, of course. And so we have here spiritualism, pagan spiritualism of the dragon, And they, it says, go forth. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings and the whole earth and gather them together of the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Would you like for us to talk about those texts another time? Today we don't have time. Tomorrow morning we'll talk about Armageddon, if you'd like. But the spirits of devils working through religious organizations play a very important role in these closing days of Earth's history. There is to be a threefold union, as we're told in Volume 5 of the Testimonies 451. And this threefold union will show us that the end is very, very near. And according to these texts, miracle working is not a proof of one's having the truth. Let's never forget that. Turn over to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Familiar words to all of us, but get the significance, beginning with verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Oh, they're religious people. Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth. It's not enough to believe. The devils believe and tremble. But it's the one that not only believes, but does something about it. Follows the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his truth. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? We've even given prophecies that have been fulfilled, they'll say. We're told by the pen of inspiration that there will be some prophecies given by false apostate religions today and individuals, prophecies, some of which will be fulfilled. Devil has power to take care of that. They'll say, Lord, Lord, in thy name we've even cast out devil. Exorcism. Do you ever hear of The Exorcist? Have you ever seen a devil-possessed person? Did Jesus ever say that his people would cast out devil? Did he? Yes. And believe me, friend, we have come to a day where we're again seeing devil possession. But there are going to be some who are talking about exorcism, which is a popular thing today, who are going to call upon the name of the Lord, and they're going to claim to have given great prophecies and cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, Jesus said, what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work, what? Iniquity. You love your sins more than you love truth. And miracles, the power to perform miracles, doesn't always then represent truth. Nor the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that here very clearly. In fact, over in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, in verse 20, it says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast, verse 20 now, was taken, and with him the false prophet, there's the beast and the false prophet again, that wrought miracles, miracle-working religious organizations, before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. miracle workers in the name of religion, calling upon the name of Jesus, looking for sensational miracles, will be burned in hell fire, according to this prophecy. How careful we need to be then in regards to the subject of miracles. Miracles today are setting the stage for multitudes to be deceived into accepting the devil himself impersonating the coming of Christ. The minds of people are becoming conditioned to this. And miracles are being done today by various people of various religions, each claiming something contrary to the other as far as their beliefs are concerned in doctrine, and yet all claiming to perform miracles. Are they all of that same power? There are people of different denominations. Some teach baptism by immersion. Some teach baptism by sprinkling, but both performing miracles. Is Jesus behind them? All? If a Pentecostal can perform a miracle to prove that he has the truth, then so can a Hindu. That fair enough? If performing miracles is adequate confirmation of having truth, then the heathens have just as much miracle-working power behind them as do many of the religious organizations here in our country today. The Bible says in Matthew 24:24, one of the signs of the coming of Christ being near was that the very elect might even be deceived. Who are they? You know who they are. Messages to Young People, page 57, God's servant to the remnant wrote this: as we near the close of time, the human mind is more readily affected by Satan's devices. The human mind. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 3, 277, says the power of Satan now to tempt and deceive, is tenfold greater than it was in the days of the apostle. Now, that was written many years ago, but let me read the next sentence. And it will increase until it is taken away. And so today, it's far more than 10 times greater than the days of the apostles. The devil's power to deceive is tremendous today. What he's doing to human minds, Adventist minds. Volume 8 of the Testimonies, 293, in the future, Satan's superstitions will assume new forms. Errors will be presented in a pleasing, flattering manner. Now listen to the next sentence. Minds of God's people will be hypnotized. Whose minds will be hypnotized? God's people. Friend, if you are more interested in that silly little television set then in the Word of God, your mind already is on its way to becoming hypnotized. The devil has already developed means of mass hypnotism. And if I can't get away from it long enough to go to prayer meeting, then I'm already under his spell. Great Controversy 593, Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. Who is Antichrist, by the way? Be careful. I wish I had time to talk to you about Antichrist. The Bible says there are many Antichrists. That's what John said. And there are. And I wish we had time to go into that. That's not our topic this morning. Okay, let's go on. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So close, in whose sight? Our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them. Except by the Holy Scriptures. I'm glad she added that, aren't you? Study the Word, friend, or you'll be deceived. I mentioned yesterday about two preachers that have deceived a lot of people just because they used to, at least, look a lot alike. I was at the San Francisco General Conference, and my twin brother was there also, and I was driving back to New England, and he was too, before going back down south where we were in the ministry at that time. I left 3 days earlier than he and wanted to do some other traveling in some other national parks and then came across, and then he left the west later than I. And I arrived at New York State Thruway, and being a little Scotch, I'm not about to get a motel on the freeway. They're cheaper on the old roads, you know. I took off. I said, well, let's take off this road here and see if we can find a motel on the old road, Route 5, I think it was. And so we took off, my family and myself, and we went to a motel. You have any rooms? No, we're all full up. I said, okay, thank you. Went down the street to the next motel. Any rooms? Yes. Got a room. Settled down. Unbeknownst to me, a little bit later, another fella that looked something like me, who left 3 days later, came down the same road, the same evening, decided the same stingy thought, and stopped at the first motel on that old route and said, do you have a room available for myself and my family? She said, I just got through telling you no. Well, he thought there was something wrong with her mind, and he drove on down the road to the next motel. And he went in and he said, do you have a room for my family and myself? She said, is there something wrong with the one I've given you? Well, he began to think there's something going on here, and he caught on and finally realized that both of us had done the same thing. They say twins' minds run the same channels, and I guess that's about true. But, friend, be careful. The path of truth lies so close to the path of error, it is impossible to distinguish, except by the Holy Scriptures. But there are those who prefer sensationalism, miracles. I remember an Adventist minister that believed in, had read the book by Oral Roberts and had come to the conclusion that he had something we needed. And so four of us Adventist ministers decided to try to help him. He told us of Oral Roberts coming to that particular city. The biggest auditorium in the city had been rented, and he wanted us to go, and we said, we're going to go to try to help you. Don't go, friend, to these places unless the Lord bids you for some good reason. Well, I wish I could tell you the whole story. I remember one woman, though. She'd get up there on the platform. You know how they, I don't know how they do it now. He's sophisticated now, but used to be a little more crude. And men would stand there, you know, and these people lined up and for their healing line, or a large number in the line that night. And this little elderly lady came up to the platform, and he says, let me see your card. And he pulled out the card, and he looked at it, and he said, oh, let's see, you have arthritis. All right. And he laid his hands on her. He said, Lord, heal her. And then a couple of men took a hold of her arms and ushered her off the platform. She yanked herself away from those men, and she came back to Oral Roberts. And she said, you didn't heal me. Oh, really? He was rather startled, and she said, "You didn't even read what was wrong with me." "Well," he said, "I read you had arthritis." She said, "Well, I've got heart condition. I've got foot problems. I've got this. I've got..." She named a whole bunch of things. She said, "I need a general overhauling." And he said, "Come back here." And he laid his hands on her head and he said, "Oh, Lord, overhaul her." Well, we smile. But friend, there are multitudes being deceived today by miracles. After the meeting was over, we went backstage to try to find the people that had been, quote, healed, and we asked, five of us ministers, including the one that had been deceived, and we asked, "Have you been healed here tonight?" All, with the exception of one, said no. One of them said, "I'm not sure yet. I'll have to wait to find out." Now, that does not say there aren't real healings. There are, as we shall find. But friend, what I'm getting at is that to try to create a great sensational atmosphere of miracle working in order to win the multitudes to come to your meetings is wrong. Do you know what it says in The Sanctified Life, page 14, Ellen White wrote, "Wonderful, Christ's wonderful acts of healings were performed in as quiet a manner as possible." We should have read that before we wrote the slave vow story. And before we started trooping people up and down the land, going to general conferences and camp meetings, talking about their marvelous healings. Friend, healing is marvelous, and I'm sure it was done in all sincerity. But we bordered on what we see happening in other churches today during that era. And we need to be careful, friend, and to remember that healings are done in a very quiet manner. There will be healings. There have been healings. But may we not try to gain notoriety just because somebody is healed. May we always give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that the Slabows did try to do that. I think some of us sensationalized it more than they wished for it to be sensationalized. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 42, "In the last days, the enemy of present truth will bring in manifestations that are not in harmony with the workings of the Spirit. I have been instructed that when one offers to exhibit these peculiar manifestations of healings, miracles, this is a decided evidence that it is not the work of God." Anybody calls a meeting and says, "I am a healer," that is an evidence that he is not of God. Don't ever forget it. The world is full of, quote, faith healers. There's Brother Spencer. Maybe he wants their addresses. I've got them all here. I heard him on the radio one day down in Dallas, Texas. He said, "Write for your miracle string." Of course, put your $10 bill in or whatever, too. But you get your miracle red string. If you're overweight, tie it around your waist, and miraculously you will lose weight. That's what he said. If you're skinny, tie it around your waist, and you'll gain weight. And people wrote in by the millions for their miracle string. Pastor Mack of the Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Fort Worth, Texas. I heard him on the radio. "Write for your miracle cloth, cut from my shirt that I was wearing when I was anointed with the Holy Spirit." Millions of people wrote in for and received. He must have needed that miracle strength, because he had to be a mighty big man. Then there was Pastor Franklin Hall of the Body Felt Saving Training Center in Phoenix. Quote, Right for your prayer cloth and feel the warmth of Jesus' body on yours. You will have no sickness at all. Your clothes will never need cleaning and your feet won't smell. Now that's a direct quotation. And that's a minister of Jesus Christ claiming to perform miracles.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. Or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.